You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Stephen Colbert here to tell you about the Late Show Pod Show, which is our podcast for the Late Show with my producer, Becca. Becca, how long have you been producing this podcast?
I've been producing this podcast for 2 years now.
And your favorite thing about it?
The extended moments, for sure.
Right, because sometimes I'll interview like a big star for 25 minutes, and we can only put like 14 minutes on air. Where can people get that?
On the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert, wherever you get your podcasts.
And who produces that?
I help out. It's a team effort.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Yo, I'm so excited to host this week. And thank you. And as I always say, it's such an honor to be a voice for Latinos on TV and film. But as I also always say, I wish the honor wasn't so rare.
Hollywood still struggling with representation on screen. According to a 2020 study by the USC Annenberg Inclusion Initiative, Latino performers appearing in only 5% of speaking roles in 2019's top 100 movies, despite being 18% of the total U.S. population.
I mean, it's crazy. Latinos are almost 20% of the country, but we're barely represented in film and television, especially since every movie last year took place in the multiverse. Come on. You're telling me there ain't one dimension that's in the Heights? Come on. And then when there is a good Latino role, it's going to people like James Franco. Well, guess what? If white people can take our roles, I'm gonna take theirs. That's right, when they do the TV series based on Gwyneth Paltrow's ski accident trial, I'm gonna be Gwyneth Paltrow. He hit me
so hard, he knocked the egg right out of my vagina.
Try not to visualize that, please. The truth is, I myself have faced this type of discrimination. I mean, I can't tell you how many times in my career I've been told at auditions that I sound too Latino or not Latino enough, that Latinos don't want to watch other Latinos, all sorts of madness. And sometimes I wish I could put all those casting directors and executives into one room and bring you guys in with me just to hear the kind of shit that I've been told. Luckily, it turns out The Daily Show has the technology to do just that.
And you're gonna be all right. I promise you. And scene. Wow, that was quite spectacular, John. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm impressed. You're very articulate.
Oh, yeah, and no accent. Full sentences. Huh?
John, I almost forgot you're not white.
Oh, yeah, me too. And can you imagine if you were white? Superstar alert.
Mm-hmm. You'd be one of the big white guys, like Tom Cruise, Tom Hanks, Tom Hardy.
Spitball.
Have you thought of changing your name to Tom? Tom Leguizamo?
Oh, yeah. Or how about a Tom Leguizamo and do a double Tom thing, you know?
Oh, I like that.
Hey, Tom. Let me ask you something. Can you do a little more Latin?
Yes. But also less Latin.
So wait, more or less Latin?
Exactly.
Just do what you did in the George Lopez show.
I'm not in the George Lopez show.
Right. I might be thinking of George Lopez.
I just don't understand what you mean by do it less Latin.
Well, John, Latin people don't want to see Latin people. They want to see white people.
White people named Tom.
Well, you know how there's hot salsa and mild salsa? Well, people want ketchup.
Well, speaking of, anybody you want to hit?
Oh, hell yeah, chop me.
Wow, that's spicy. What's in that? Tomato.
All right. Let's take it from the top. And this time, John, can you do us a version that's a little more, you know, street?
Aren't I playing a doctor?
A Latin doctor.
Yeah, but who's not Latin?
Oh, but hold this piñata just in case. Ow!
You're welcome.
Hey, what the hell's wrong with you guys?
Downtown, hey, wait.
That pendejo was loco.
Is an activist, author, an actor you may know from Orange is the New Black, Doom Patrol, and Encanto. Please welcome Diane Guerrero, please. Yeah. All right, calm down. Relax, y'all, relax. They're excited.
They're excitable.
Hey, Diane. Do people believe you when you tell them that you do the voice for Encanto? Because when I tell kids, nobody believes me.
I have to sing the entire song.
The whole song. But then they believe you.
Then they believe me. Yeah, the kids start. And I have to, like, do, like, a few lines to, like, flowers. And then, I've been stuck.
And then they
perfect.
Get it.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
And then they get it.
And now I believe you.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if you were in Encanto. But now I got it. Yeah, no, they don't get it. Even when I do the voice, you know, like, I don't know who I am. They don't get it.
Right.
Because his face scares them.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
You got to sing this. You got to do the rap part that you do.
Oh, yeah, forget that. That's not happening.
Yeah, I barely got it
in the pocket, yeah.
That's a hard one.
Now let me switch it over to something else. You're a child of immigrants.
That's right.
And every immigrant, yes. Thank you for that. Colombia y web. Me vale verga. Okay. What do you want people to know about your experience growing up?
Yeah, well, when I was 14, my parents were separated from me. I'm a child of a separated family due to deportation, and it ruined a lot of. It ruined me.
Yeah, because you were 14 years old.
I was 14 years old.
And the immigration, INS, ICE came and took away your parents.
That's right. And I had to grow up on my own, and I had to make very, very difficult decisions on my own throughout my entire life.
Can you imagine a kid just left alone at 14 to raise himself so crazy?
Not right.
Not okay.
And I've gone through a lot of therapy, and I'm still going through therapy, and I'm, you know.
Oh, beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah. I've relied on my community to support me in this, and I have been very candid. I wrote a book in 2016 about my experience and the country we love. Yes, thank you. My family and I were separated, like, for 20 years. I mean, I've been able to go back, but they haven't been able to come here. And so, you know, pandemic happened, and I was like, what am I going to do here? Like, die in LA by myself? So I bought a farm in the mountains of Colombia, and I'm now living there. My dad sadly passed away a year ago, but
I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you so much. But my mom is there. I'm close to my family, and no one's ever going to separate us ever again.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
Now, I also hear that you're the leading actor who recently joined. No, you joined a whole bunch of leading actors in the Visionary Alliance for the National Hispanic Media Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
I had to read that because that's a long
title. I'm not the leading
title.
Actor.
You're not the leading actor.
No, I'm not the leading actor. I'm one of the actors.
Oh, one of them. Okay.
Yes.
And then, and what is the mission statement of the coalition?
Look, I'll give you numbers. Yeah. I'm not a math girly, but I'll give you some numbers. And in 2022, only 3 women of color directed a top 100 film. In the span of 16 years, okay, 21 female directors, women of color directors, directed 21 films out of 1,600 films.
That's crazy.
I'm not a math girly, like I said.
Right. And people of color are at least 40% of the population, if not a lot more, because white people are only 59% of the population.
Right.
So
I mean,
then,
that's getting into more numbers than I rehearsed.
Oh, yeah.
But
I'm a math boy.
You are a math boy.
Yeah.
Well, all I know is that that's cultural apartheid.
Yes.
Right?
For
and
real,
I know that's a
real
term that you use a lot, and I follow you and I follow your work. Thank you so much, Johnny Legs, for doing
that. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Doing the good work for us and inspiring me to do the work that I'm doing alongside you.
I need allies, and we need people like you. Absolutely. We need soldiers out there.
Thank you. We want representation. We want the right kind of representation. We're tired of the only things getting made about us, drug lords,
negative,
criminals, cops.
Right, right.
Maids.
Hookers.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Well, we want to be represented as we are, real, beautiful, curious, existential crises happen.
Preach, mama, preach.
And yes, maybe even mediocre.
Right, and if, someday.
Sometimes, right? And if somebody...
Because white people get to be mediocre all the time.
All the time.
Oh, my God. I mean, I'm jealous because white people get to fail upwards.
Just peruse.
I can barely succeed upwards.
Agreed. Likewise. Just peruse through the canon of, like, mediocre films of dysfunctional white families.
Jack and Jill. there's a list.
The canon is rich.
Yeah, yes,
okay?
It is.
We deserve to be...
You're allowed to fail on camera,
exactly.
People.
Exactly.
I want to fail in big movies.
Yes.
I want to make crap on television,
yes.
On streaming.
I want to
be like white people.
I want to make woolly mammoth meatball crap.
Yes. And get paid for
it.
Ain't nobody paid for us to do that.
Exactly.
We have to work really well in sushi kitchens, pizzerias. We got to cook,
yes,
all the food for this goddamn country.
Just like we deserve to be excellent, we deserve to make crap as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And everything in between.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Stephen Colbert here to tell you about the Late Show Pod Show, which is our podcast for the Late Show with my producer, Becca. Becca, how long have you been producing this podcast?
I've been producing this podcast for 2 years now.
And your favorite thing about it?
The extended moments, for sure.
Right, because sometimes I'll interview like a big star for 25 minutes, and we can only put like 14 minutes on air. Where can people get that?
On the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert, wherever you get your podcasts.
And who produces that?
I help out. It's a team effort.
I've been thinking about the term people of color came out, POC. I loved it. I thought, oh, my God, this is so incredible. It's going to unify us. It's going to bring us together. It's going to make us stronger. And then I started to see that people of color was sort of working, but it was excluding Latin people even more. Like, I started to see that Latin people were not being included, that we were actually less included. So I started having beef with the New York Times because I was like, there's no Latin stories. Where are Latin stories? Where are your Latin journalists? I mean, there were no names there. I mean, I was looking for those names, but you could only see it when they were like showing the Yankees sports pages, and I'm not gonna, So they got upset with me because I was upset at them. And then they called me up and said, John, you're so wrong because we were about 10% more people of color. I said, that's fantastic. That's so awesome. That's my dream come true. How many of those people are Latin? None. Now they have maybe 1-2% journalists at the New York Times, but it's not enough. You know, I don't want to be reading about Latin sofrito recipes written by Heidi. And the term people of color is cool, but not if it's excluding Latin people. I mean, we're half of the people of color. People of color are 40% of the U.S. population, and we're 50% of that POC. But we're less than 1% of the leads in movies and television and streaming, less than 1% of the stories being told, less than 0.1% of the executives. And I'm starting to think that, do we have to get more aggressive? Do we have to get more assertive about ourselves? Do we have to start, like, boycotting, picketing, calling, hunger strikes? What do we have to do to make this change? Because it's got to happen in my lifetime. It's got to happen before my kids get old and before I pass. It's got to change now. Should we make the Puerto Rican Day Parade, like, longer? Go up every street, make the Puerto Rican Day Parade for a month? Do we cancel Hamilton? My guest tonight is the queen of the New York underground, a rapper, songwriter, and actor, and her new EP is called I Love You, But This Is Goodbye. Please welcome Princess Nokia. Rapture. Oh, man, they love you. Yeah, yeah. Look at that. Yeah. Now, you're a multi-hyphenate, a singer, actor, producer, director, voice
actor.
Oh, that. But isn't the idea of being very successful to have to work less?
Yes. I mean, some would say working harder, not smarter.
Right.
I am a multi-hyphenate. I've done so many things. Musician, actress, comedian, director, songwriter.
And
author.
What drives that? What drives all that?
Oh, creativity. You know, the need to want to express myself, taking boredom. And, you know, they say bored idleness is the devil's playground.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't ever want to be in the devil's playground. I just want to have fun.
Yeah, yeah, and you do. And your work is so powerful. I mean, I'm so inspired by you.
Thank you.
And you chose your stage name, Nokia, because the telephone is so indestructible, and you're indestructible.
I would say so. It's a Finnish company. At the time, I was using Obama phones because, you know, we was just that poor.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
So I couldn't call myself Princess Obama phone, and yeah. I just...
Not the same ring.
I was too young to have a Nokia, but I chose something with a futurist angle because I liked the idea of having something old and new. And they, you know, Disney princesses, all their moms are dead, and my mom's dead, so I figured, well, let me add a little humor to that as well.
I love the way you mix it all together. It's amazing. We're both street kids.
Yes, we are.
You know, I went to the Fresh Air Fund. I survived the New York City public school system. How do you use your streetness and your lens of the Latinidad to do your storytelling?
Oh, well, I was really fortunate to grow up in an extremely vivid cultural upbringing. You know, being Afro-Indigenous was what I was supposed to do on the weekends. When my girlfriends was playing double dutch and hanging rope, I was at powwows just like, why, you know, like, I loved my upbringing.
Right.
But it's funny because, you know, there's so many intersections of my childhood. And there's the public school, you know, being in Jefferson Park with my friends. And then there was the times where I didn't connect with my friends, where I didn't get to have sneakers or, you know, be wearing lip gloss, that I had to, you know, go to ceremonies or go to the UN to do
right,
a performance, something of the sort. But I think that, you know, I'm very straight. I'm very protective. You know, I was taught to fight with my words in my hands.
Oh, yeah.
And be vivacious and be protective.
Yes.
And I am protective of myself and my loved ones.
Yeah, no, that comes out in your work. I mean, I'm such a big fan of your work because, you know, I feel like I see myself in you, you know, and it revitalizes me as an older artist, seeing, like, the young Latinas that have, you know, such self-worth and strength and vivacity and not afraid of their power and strength. Yeah.
I was telling to the crowd, is the camera here? I was telling John earlier that he's one of my biggest inspirations. It's him and Martin Lawrence that created my identity.
I feel like Martin Lawrence. We're about the same height. We're both short kings.
I'm there too.
Yeah.
yeah, like I watched Freak, Sexaholic, Spikorama, Ghetto Clown, you know, like Jesus
Christ.
And
they let you watch that inappropriate crap? Come on.
No, they allowed me to watch it. It was it was our household thing. It's we saw you and we saw ourselves.
That's beautiful. Thank you for that. I mean, when I wrote my stuff, I wanted to write it for all the young Latino kids that weren't seeing themselves and that they felt invisible, and I wanted them to feel like I saw them. You know, that's why how I wrote it. Now, you got your new EP coming out,
yeah,
right?
It's already out.
But it's already out.
That's okay. Everything is misinformed.
But this is about love, right? This is...
How many rumors have you heard about
me?
Oh,
yeah, no, not yet. But this is about love, though. This is the first time you're talking about love. You've never been this vulnerable before.
No.
Why now?
It was the time. I always speak from my heart. I always speak from a personal experience. You know, 1992 covers my life as a child growing up and all the intersections of my life from childhood to adult. You know, Girl Code Red is about my love for rock music. Mm. Everything is Beautiful is a neo-soul jazz album with R&B, Everything Sucks, kind of had like a ICP effect to it. It was a little bit more fun. In this, I stripped it down. I wanted to sing. I always say when I MC, I'm happy. And when I sing, I'm sad. Like when I got the blues, I sing. So oh, wow. I had the blues and I was going to get married in that dress. And I didn't. And I like using, no, it's okay. It's okay. Like I'm a young woman and I said this to Billboard and The Insider. I said, everyone is so used to me being the rapper, the strong woman, the soup thrower, yeah. You know, the voice of a generation, but no one has ever heard me and I've never allowed myself to be that vulnerable. I don't talk about my personal life like online. So no one would know who I'm dating. No one knows who I'm talking about. It's no one I've ever posted publicly. So someone could have an idea and they completely have no idea what's going on. So I put all of these intricate things about a failed relationship, but the takeaway of the project is really that person was that person allowed me to feel love. They allowed me to feel a little something.
Right.
You know, I hadn't dated in like 5 years.
Oh, wow.
And like, I think that like, I just, you know, hooked up with my childhood sweetheart and we had a love tunnel and it was fabulous. And it was hot and saucy and sexy and then scary. And then we were gonna get married and it was gonna be amazing. And then I left because it didn't serve me.
Right.
It didn't serve my high purpose. And I spoke to God and God said, get your ass out there. And I said, okay. But I tell him, he's listened to the music. He loves the project. We're still good friends, you know?
Oh, that's beautiful.
I
want to go back to that soup thing. What happened? What happened in that soup thing?
I've never talked about it publicly. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're kidding?
I'm not kidding.
I don't know if y'all know what happened. Well, she's going to tell you now.
I've never spoken about it publicly because public attention gives me nervous. And I was on the front of the Metro or in the Metro. And I was like, oh, my God, my name's like in the paper.
Right, because it went viral. That video went viral.
I still don't realize. I realize that I'm a person of interest. Like, for me, I'm just destiny.
Well, if you throw hot soup in somebody's face, you're going to be of interest to a lot of people.
This is what happened. This is from the horse's mouth. Before that man started saying slurs, a group of young men who were like on a basketball team, black and Latino brothers, and I remember thinking, wow, look at kids getting air, being outside, being healthy, playing sports. That's a beautiful thing. You look, my people, look at young men being gentlemen. Okay. And this man came onto the train and he bumped them purposely. And that was the first thing I seen. I seen an adult bump a child. And I thought that was very weird. And then when they got off, he drunkenly just said these N-words. And I got up and I said, how dare you? And I just socked him in the eye. And he called me.
Wait, you punched him first?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't want to say that. I didn't want to say that. I said it on Twitter once, but I didn't want to say that to publications in case he like tried to sue me.
Yeah.
But you know, I was like, man,
you gotta protect you.
Yeah.
You got some money now.
So that's actually what happened. There was a whole discourse before the soup. The soup is what happens very last. What I says, you're not about to talk about black people like that. Not in my face.
Right.
I would never, like, xenophobia and anti-blackness, that make my skin crawl.
Absolutely.
I don't like that.
And you can't stay quiet because if you stay quiet, then you're kind of guilty.
People stay quiet because people are crazy. You don't know what they're capable of. He could have punched me back. He could have slapped
true
me.
That, true
he
that.
Could have spit at me. And I have been punched back before for standing up for myself. Mm. I got really lucky. Then he started hurling racial slurs at me. And when I said what I said to him very distinctly, you don't ever talk about people like that. Don't ever fix your mouth to say something like that. A whole bunch of men came to my aid. And it was brothers and like people just, it was like the train of New York just came behind my back. And these two brothers, they looked at me and said, we got you, sis. I said, okay. And then everybody, like white, black, polka dot red, was like, you can't talk like that. That's not okay.
Right,
it was white men.
Okay,
it was white men going, dude, what's wrong with you? Are you sick?
And don't you love that? Don't you love
it
when everybody?
It was like
when we're all united.
It was a rainbow.
Oh my God, I love
nation.
That.
And it was so
you're gonna make
so
me cry. That kind of stuff makes me cry when we're all together.
It made me cry
together.
Because we all collectively threw him off the train. It was the, you see the men?
Oh, man, that's
beautiful. They're throwing him. And I had just went to Panera Bread and got me a butternut squash soup. And that was my thing. I used to get me a butternut squash soup and go to Brooklyn and, you know, be a New Yorker. And I was like, well, shit, excuse me, I'm sorry.
You can curse here, this is all right.
They've heard worse
from me.
He done said racial slurs, he done got in my face, he done made a fool of himself, he about to get this soup too. So I was like, you know what, I've already punched him, I've already done that, that's all off camera. I remember I went to get my bag, because I was like, oh my God, my bag. And then I was like, soup. And without even thinking about it, it took 2 seconds. I swear to God, it was from 14th Street to the first stop of the L train. So you know that underground tunnel is like extra 3 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, it felt like a long time, but it was just one train stop. And it was wild, and I stand behind that, you know. I was taught to always, if you are about something, be about something. Mm. And I would never strike my brother or sister unless they, you know, provoke me first. Right. But when it comes to defending blackness, Latinidad, being indigenous, anything, you know, that I am mixed
with. Anybody is vulnerable, yeah.
Absolutely. And we were just at a point in the time, society, like in society, where that rhetoric was just so, you know. And
right,
I just,
right.
I caught that man in his face.
Because you got it like that. You got it. She's a poetess, a singer, sensitive, and she can knock you out. I mean, you're the perfect woman.
I'm pretty frail, but I would like to think that I can always, you know, if a friend is in need, I can help.
Well, I'm a friend in need. If you ever need me, I got your back.
Thank you.
Love you. Thank you for coming. I love you, but This Is Goodbye is available now.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Stephen Colbert here to tell you about the Late Show Pod Show, which is our podcast for the Late Show with my producer, Becca. Becca, how long have you been producing this podcast?
I've been producing this podcast for 2 years now.
And your favorite thing about it?
The extended moments, for sure.
Right, because sometimes I'll interview like a big star for 25 minutes, and we can only put like 14 minutes on air. Where can people get that?
On the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert, wherever you get your podcasts.
And who produces that?
I help out. It's a team effort.